Hello everyone, and welcome back to the conference on building a European cultural backbone. This morning we had a session on self-certifying data structures for metadata replication and a presentation on PubHubs, a proposed social networking protocol based on Matrix. And now it is my pleasure to introduce Benjamin Bellamy. Benjamin is the developer of Castopod, an open source podcast hosting software, and he also leads a company called Ad Aures that does podcast hosting for podcasters. Benjamin will talk about ActivityPub, another well-known protocol for replicating and exchanging media and social media. And yeah, I wish you a pleasant presentation and looking forward to the discussion afterwards.
Danke. So today I'm going to be talking about ActivityPub. This talk will last around 30 minutes, which means that we'll only scratch the surface. Please feel free to ask any question, whether you're here or online, so that we can continue the discussion afterwards. So, I'm Benjamin Bellamy. I've been working for quite a few years on podcasting, and more specifically on Castopod, which is a podcasting solution that is connected to ActivityPub. So first, what is ActivityPub? It's a protocol, which means it's like a language used to communicate between servers and clients. And according to Wikipedia, ActivityPub is open and decentralized. It provides communication between clients and servers and between servers, although it's mainly used for communication between servers now. And last, it's a protocol that's been standardized by the W3C. It was there before, but now we have a specification that is widely used by many platforms. From time to time, we also talk about the Fediverse. The two words are usually exchanged. The Fediverse and ActivityPub usually mean the same thing. The Fediverse is a word made of two, which means federated universe, and it represents all the servers that are using ActivityPub. There's a really good video from Framasoft that you can see. It's a 2 minutes long video, and if you don't know it, I highly encourage that you have a look. There's a QR code. There are some QR codes in my presentation, so you can flash them to get the URLs. But if you missed one, don't panic. At the end, there will be one with a link with the presentation and all the links. So first, before talking about ActivityPub, what is the internet without ActivityPub? Because we've been using social networks for years now. We have Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and many of them. And what they provide is isolated services, meaning that when you are on one of them, let's say Facebook, you're on Facebook, and you can only see people that are also on Facebook, and you can only see content that are on Facebook. The same applies for Twitter. If you're on Twitter, you are unable to interact with content and all people that are on Facebook or on any other network. So all these services are isolated, which is like a closed web. So now what ActivityPub allows is to have an open web, meaning when you are connected to one platform that is ActivityPub enabled, you are able to interact with content and servers that are on any other that is also connected to ActivityPub. So this allows us to have a web that is truly open, the way it was initially designed in the 80s and the early 90s. The key point here is interoperability. This is something really important today. What ActivityPub allows us to do is to provide services that are connected to one another. So there is no boundaries. There is not one single entity that decides what is correct and what is not correct. For instance, if you go on Facebook and you want to share a picture of nudity, maybe it's perfectly fine for you, but Facebook does not allow it. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, actually, when you created your Facebook account, you checked the little box and you agreed to the terms and condition. So it's okay that you have to abide these terms and condition. What if you want to have your own content and to be responsible for it and to be able to share what you find okay with your own terms and conditions? So you can do that on Facebook or on Twitter, but you can do that on the Fediverse, meaning you can have your own instance, your own server, your own service, and you decide the terms and conditions that you want to apply. Of course, legally, you are responsible for the content and for what your users will post. But that's your decision, and that does not mean that your users will be able to see just the content on your platform, because thanks to ActivityPub and to the connectivity between all of them, they will be able to interact with others. And you'll be, of course, able to block any service that you don't find okay with what you decided, and maybe the local regulations. So how is that made possible? There are five key points, according to me, which make that possible. The first thing is that ActivityPub is an open protocol, meaning I said previously that it's on the W3C. The whole specification for the protocol is open and known to everyone. You don't know how Twitter interacts between the client and the server, and actually there is no gateway that would allow you to post thing from one platform to another. With ActivityPub, you know the protocol and you know exactly how it works. The second point is that it's a federated protocol, meaning it was designed to allow you to connect servers to each other. The third one is that it's flexible, because we don't have all the same needs and all the platforms do not have all the same needs. So flexibility allows you to create a social network that will allow you to create your own platform, your own service, and to adapt it to your needs. Whether you want a platform that will allow you to share videos or microblogging or podcasts, obviously. You can do that with ActivityPub. It was designed to evolve and to be flexible. Then, one thing that makes all that possible is usually all the platforms that use ActivityPub are open source. Actually, I don't know if there's one that is not open source. There could be. If you know some, please tell me. So that since it's open source, anyone can grab it, take it, set up his own instance, and use it, modify it, fork it, or whatever you want to do with it. You are free to design a social network the way you need it. Which brings me to the last point, is self-hosting. If you want to have power on your content, and you don't want to rely on an external entity, self-hosting allows you to host your content and to be responsible for it. And there is no middleman between your platform and you. So you set up an instance, your server, you host it yourself, you are legally responsible for it and for the content. But in the end, you're the only one who chooses what's acceptable and what is not. So self-hosting is probably the major point which make things so great with ActivityPub. ActivityPub without self-hosting would probably make no sense or much less. So now, how does it work? So I'm going to be a little bit technical, but not too much, because the presentation would last like 4 hours. So the idea here is just to give some basic notions about how it works. These are the W3C schematics, diagrams. So basically, ActivityPub is really, really simple. It's not that simple to implement it, but it's quite simple to understand how it works. So basically, you have inbox and outboxes. So we have users, we have a platform, and we have the rest of the world. So what the platform provides is inbox and outbox for every user so that they can interact either within the same platform or with other ones. You see inbox, it reminds you of email. We talked about it this morning. Because it works exactly as email, just an extra step. We know that emails are federated, meaning you can send an email to someone who's not using the same hosting provider, whether you're on Gmail, Hotmail, or whichever system, or ProtonMail, whatever. You can send an email and receive emails from someone who is not using the same platform. And the systems are not the same. They're basically using SMTP. They have an address, which is made of a username and a domain name. Well, it's exactly the same with ActivityPub. Your username is a handle and a domain name, and all servers are connected together. But instead of SMTP, it's ActivityPub. And ActivityPub is inbox, outbox, so that you can send and receive messages, exactly as you would do with emails. But the messages are JSON files. We're going to see that in the next slide. So can you read?
Yeah.
This is like the most basic example. This is a user, how it is represented with ActivityPub. So it's a JSON file. And you say, OK, so what's the context? What is it? It's a person here. As you remember here, we're talking about Alice. Yeah, she's Alice. Alisa, sorry. She's a person, but the type here, we decided that it's a person, but it could be anything else. So you don't have to connect stuff that are always have the same nature. So here, it's a person. This person has a name, an ID, and some information. What's important here is inbox and outbox. Of course, you need these if you want the person to interact with others and to be able to send messages and receive messages. And there, here we have followers, following, liked, which are pointers to where you will find the list of these informations. Here, you may recognize something that looks like Twitter, because the major ActivityPub platform now is Mastodon. I guess you already heard of it. Mastodon is a microblogging platform that is probably the most successful ActivityPub platform. There are thousands of Mastodon platforms and millions of users. And so here they matched what you can do with Twitter. So you can have followers, you can follow other person, and you can like you can like messages. So what's a message? Here we have a very, very simple message with just a content. So we have the name of the recipient here, his address, and the content. And remember that I said that ActivityPub is flexible. This message can be anything. So here it is a microblogging message. So it's probably 400 characters long max. But it could be anything. It could be a video, it can be again a podcast, or anything you want to put in there. So as I said, so now we have around 100 implementation, which means 100 different ActivityPub platforms that are being developed to perform different kind of social networks. Thousands of servers which can all interact together, and millions of users, and actually millions. So millions can seems to be a lot, and it is, because a few years ago there was like zero. I think on Mastodon there's a 500,000 of active users. If we compare that to Facebook and billions of users, we can see that we're still at the beginning, and the ActivityPub revolution is ahead of us, I hope. So 100 implementation, here are some of them. I mentioned Castopod because that's the one I've been working on for a few months. Frendika, who's not very active yet. PixelFed, which is like an Instagram-like platform. Pleroma, Plume, which is a content blogging platform. PureTube for video, Mastodon. Hubzilla, Funkwave for music. Here is another diagram. And the thing is, all these can interact together, meaning if someone posts a message on one of these platforms, any other will be able to read it and to display it. Of course, depending on the platform where you are connected to, you won't see exactly the message in the same way that it was sent on the original platform. If you are on an audio platform and you're trying to read a message that was sent from a picture platform, you don't know how it's going to render. So usually you have alternate representation for the message so that you'll be able to do your best to display the message. And now, since the most active platform is Mastodon, Mastodon is putting everyone so that the messages are compatible with it, which is not a bad thing, but eventually we'll have to develop new kind of messages. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the podcast activity stream, which is a new kind of message that is ActivityPub compliant. My partner Yacine Dohri wrote that spec, and we've been pushing it for quite a few months, and we hope that eventually all platforms will be able to understand the podcast activity stream messages. And the goal for it, our target, is to make a specification for ActivityPub dedicated to podcasting. Because the needs for podcasting is not exactly the same as the one you have when you are dealing with pictures, videos of microblogging. So here, the actor is not a person. The actor is a podcast. The podcast is interacting. The podcast is posting messages. And the messages, there aren't microblogging text. They are podcast episodes. And the beauty of ActivityPub is that you can define these. You can create new types of actors and messages. Wow. So this is the specification is available on GitHub at this address. And this is what it looks like. It's actually pretty simple. Of course, it's longer than the first example we saw, but it's the exact same pattern. You have the context and then the type. So here it's a podcast. It's not a person anymore, it's a podcast. And we added a few fields that are mandatory for podcasting. So obviously we have the RSS feed URL because podcasting is heavily relies on RSS. And an inbox and an outbox because you still need to post messages and to receive messages as well. You have also followers, which are, when we talk about podcast, the subscribers for your podcast. And you can be following other users. You have the list of episodes. So here, it's a pointer to a URL where you'll get all the episode lists. And then images, icon, language, category, publisher, author. So these are very common in the podcast ecosystem. Location, owner, trailer, copyright, and a public key, because one really cool thing about ActivityPub is that every message can be signed so that you can authenticate the sender for the message. So now the message itself, which is an episode. So here, same thing. The type is a podcast episode. And then you have the description, which is where you would put your show notes. Image, of course, there's an audio file because we are talking about podcasting here. So we have the URL for an MP3 file. Size, bitrate, duration, etc. Closed caption, transcript, chapters, etc. Geolocation. And this would make things much more easier for interacting with podcasters. So I mentioned that I was talking about Castopod. So I'm going to just say a few words about it. So we are pushing, of course, the podcast activity stream specification. And what is Castopod? So it's a podcast hosting platform, which is open source. It was developed in PHP MySQL. The idea behind that was that it should be easy to host a podcast. And our model was WordPress, because one of the reasons why WordPress is so successful is that it's very easy to host and it's very cheap to host. You unzip a package, you run a wizard, and then you're good to go. The exact same pattern applies to Castopod. You download a zip file, you unzip it to your web server, PHP MySQL, so it can be a very cheap server. You run a wizard, and you're good to go. You can podcast. So it's open source, it's multi-tenant, meaning that with one instance, you can have as many podcasts as you want to. As we saw earlier, a podcast is an actor, in the activity pub way of talking. So you can have many actors on the single activity pub instance. So it applies to Castopod. So if you have 2, 3, 4, 10 podcasts, then you have 10 actors on the same platform. So whether you just want to host one podcast or dozens, you can use it. It has its own audience measurement, so you don't have to rely on something, someone else to know how many person listen to an episode, where are they from, what client they're using. Because the idea of, as I said in the beginning, is that you stay in control. So you stay in control of your content and of your audience. And of course, controlling your audience just means that you have your own analytics and you don't rely on someone else to provide them for you. You have them, and no, there's no middleman, never. No one can remove them from you. So obviously, it's a federated social network, thanks to ActivityPub. And also, it's podcasting 2.0 certified, meaning we already added a few extra features that you usually don't find on a podcasting hosting solution, and which are obviously very useful. So you can find all the platforms that are podcasting 2.0 compliant on podcastindex.org/apps. And basically, what it does is it allows you to add comments. So here, the comments are sent and received through ActivityPub, of course. You can also have funding links, transcripts, which is highly useful for hearing impaired or person with disabilities, chapters, soundbite, geolocation. So geolocation, we're talking about the content here. We're not talking about knowing where the users are specifically and following them. We're talking about how to geolocalize a content, because if you're listening to a podcast that talks about tourism or some museums, whatever, it can be really interesting to know what this podcast on about, which location this podcast is talking about, this podcast or this podcast episodes. And person, which allows you to know who got involved in the making process of that podcast. So the host, the producer, the person who made the image cover or whatever. And I have 10 seconds left, so I'm going to press that button very slowly. And that's it. Any questions?
Any questions? Yeah.
Thanks for your talk. Question not that related to activity, but to Castopod, because we actually run a platform based on WordPress, and we have these problems of audience measurements because we rely on the server logs, and we have our own player, okay, so we could do some measurements if people, for example, we would be interested to know if a person hears the whole podcast, only a part of, so if it doesn't access by RSS, it's possible, but how do we handle this measurement stuff in your Castopod application? Do you rely on server logs? Do you have your own player integrated in your platform?
It's all integrated into Castopod. So we are using, I didn't say it, but it was on the slide, we are using the IAB V2 specification, which is free and open, which basically says that how you count what means one listening to an episode. So if someone downloads the same episode twice within 24 hours, you count only one. This kind of stuff. But it's all integrated within Castopod. The data are on the same database. Well, actually, you could separate them if you want to. But you have your data, and everything is on your server. So if you would want to use it, I would suggest that the best solution would be to switch to Castopod, and then you would have that automatically. Otherwise, to develop a platform that would do the same on WordPress, but I don't know if I don't think that exists. But actually, it's not really that difficult. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thanks. And the second quick question to you as a podcast specialist, like you talked about that, you have some funding.
With NLNet, yeah.
Yeah, what kind of funding models do you support in your app?
What do we support now? Mm-hmm. We're on Open Collective. So if you go to opencollective.com/castopod, you'll be able to help us. And initially, we got a grant from NLNet, which I thank. And they helped us kickstart in the development.
Hi. Podcast version 2 looks like it's working on having things for funding and so on. For the funding of the podcasters itself, Castopod provides a solution to carry these kind of things, or what model Castopod proposes to give some funding and money for the podcasters?
Yeah, I understand your question. I think I understand your question. First, you need to understand that there are many, many ways of funding a podcast. First, it can be pride, because you should be very proud of your podcast. And for 99% of the podcast worldwide, it's enough. For the one extra percent, you can have audio insertion, you can have funding, tipping, whatever. What we do with Castopod so far is the funding tag, which allows you to add links to the funding platform you're using. So it can be Patreon, it could be Tipeee, it can be PayPal, or whichever platform you're using. One other would be value for value. You can add inside the RSS feed the address of your LND node, so that people using application like Fountain, or there are many of them, can send you satoshis while they are listening and boosting your podcast. So Castopod just embeds a pointer to your LND node here. And one thing that we are working on, and it will be in the next release, is private podcasts, because subscription is a highly profitable model, and which makes sense. So right now, you can't make a private podcast within Castopod, but you'll be able to do that. It will probably be out in September this year. And so you'll be able to sell subscription to your listeners. And also, since the company that I run, Adores, is mainly focused on the recommendation, you can add ads within the show notes and the chapters to products that are semantically related to the content of your podcast. That's what we do. So it's displayed ad insertion, automatically generated thanks to the content, without any cookies or user profiling.
Thanks. Can I do another little question? Mm-hmm. From what you say now, Can you advance how works the private podcast with the activity path? It's federated, or can you give a brief of how works the technology behind the?
So I'm not sure I understand your question, but I'll answer with what I can tell you. There are two kinds for us of a private podcast. The first one is the one that works everywhere, which is a specific RSS feed URL for every subscriber. And it works with any podcast application. So you subscribe, then you receive a URL that is made just for you, and you paste it into your podcast app. And that's very good because it works for any app. The other one that is much better, but which doesn't work on podcast apps yet, is using private messages on ActivityPub. Because with ActivityPub, you can send direct messages, private messages, which are encrypted, which are specifically sent to a specific user. And so they cannot be shared because of obviously your personal RSS URL. You can share it to a friend, your mother, or whoever, which is not a big problem, but still. Whereas using ActivityPub, you can send a subscribed podcast to a specific user without knowing his real name. You don't need his real name, you just need the ActivityPub address, so the actor's address, and that would work.
We have a question from the Matrix room, and Cyber Hippie asks if when using a CastoPod server with multiple parties, who is in control of the keys used in the ActivityPub signatures?
Can you repeat that, please?
Who is in control of the keys used in the ActivityPub signatures when having multiple parties on a single server or instance?
Oh, it's the server. It's exactly the same. It works exactly as Mastodon. So basically, the administrator for the server may have access to all the messages. You know, on Mastodon, if you send a direct message to a user, it's private and it's encrypted, but in the end, the administrator of the recipient could read the message. And it's the exact same thing with Mastodon, and I think it's the same on any ActivityPub server so far. We don't have an extra encryption here that would allow to secure the message for the user himself. It's not end-to-end encryption. It's server-to-server encryption only.
Yes. Yeah. Any further questions in here? I have a question. With ActivityPub, you showed also the slide with the inbox and outbox. So the usual model, as I understand the protocol, is that when there's two servers and users follow each other or like each other or whatever or interact with each other, then for each interaction, server A will ping server B or send the request, the message to the other server. Is there also a way to fetch everything from a channel or a server in the service-to-server communication? So can you like do federation in the sense that like to build a shared index, for example, of different activity pub hosts in a straightforward way?
No, there isn't, for two reasons. The first one is that we can't be everywhere. Actually, having an index of ActivityPub actors and servers is a common problem. I remember back in 2017 when Mastodon started to be famous, we were looking for people and for instances, and how do we find them? And that was a big problem, and we have some solutions now, but they are not equally good. The thing with podcasting is that I don't think that using ActivityPub will get rid of the RSS. We still need the RSS feed. And indexing an RSS feed is very easy. And there are many, many podcast indexes. The one that I like the best is obviously Podcast Index, because it's free, it's open source. You can download the whole dump on the homepage. And there you can get all the podcasts, not only the ones that are ActivityPub compliant, but all of them. And you can get also the ones that are only ActivityPub. So if you're looking for ActivityPub content for podcasting, I would recommend that you go to podcastindex.org, you get the database, and then you select and keep only for now the Castopod ones, because Castopod is the only ActivityPub podcasting platform so far, but I hope that there will be many others in the future. So there is an obvious workaround for podcasting, which we don't have for other ActivityPub platforms.
Any questions? I'll just check the internet. No, there's no new questions there. If that is not the case, I say thank you, Benjamin, for your talk, and hope to continue the discussion later on in here. And we will continue here at 2 p.m., I think. Ah, there's another question. Okay, we still have time. So there's a question by a circle builder, and they ask, how will the specifications be managed so that they are standardized and usable for many different app developers? Is there a standard organization behind this effort? I think it likely relates to the extensions to the ActivityPub specifications, like the proposed.
Yeah, yes, but still you have to centralize where the podcast activity streams is defined. I don't think that the W3C would be interesting in taking care of that. That's not their job. So we've been relying on the podcast index. So now if you go to the URL that I mentioned earlier, where we define the podcast activity stream specification, it's on GitHub within the podcast index project. Because there, Adam Curry and Dave Jones and all the person that are working with them, they're the one who are make things actually evolve and move and in a very good way. So I'm also very thankful to them.
Actually, I think I have a follow-up question to that. Do you know that, like in general, is there, like the W3C maintains the activity streams, ActivityPub standard on like the high level. Mm-hmm. Is there a like a community organization or something that would like have a listing of all proposed extensions and also like implementation differences? Because when I looked into ActivityPub, it was kind of difficult to find out what parts are just are like actual extensions and what parts are just implementation details of some app, like for example PeerTube, which is kind of similar to Castopod in a way. It's focused on video, but also it uses ActivityPub and implemented extensions to the spec to better support their use case, which is video sharing. And it was not very clear, like if you'd now develop a client for these things, what actually is around, like. When I was looking at things, I resorted to reading the source code of different apps to find out what they actually, what the messages actually are that they're being sent around.
Okay, so short answer, I'm not aware of any. But if you want to do it, I would be very interested. Longer answer, I think that the W3C defines only the high level specification for ActivityPub and not the implementations for it. And if so far Mastodon has been the main platform for ActivityPubs, and they have been putting everyone and doing stuff that are not always as compliant as we would have liked to, but still it's a success, so we are grateful for that. And I really don't know where you would want to put that. But the good thing about ActivityPub is that anyone can take it and do whatever he or she wants to do with it. We don't need some kind of regulation to say, yeah, this is ActivityPub compliant and this is not, it's forbidden, you're not allowed to do that. So I think the way it is now is good. We probably need an index with all the specifications so that we don't reinvent the wheel every once in a while.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Benjamin, for your talk, and we'll be back here in about 13 minutes for the talk by about hacking search algorithms by Fairconf with their decentralized search tools. Thank you.
Thank you.